Today on DC On Screen, Ewan McGregor is Black Mask, Wonder Woman 1984 gets pushed back 7 months, Chris McKay updates us on Nightwing, and freaking John Wesley Shipp is back as 90s Flash in the Arrowverse crossover, and so much more, right after this.
You think of Earth as a singular planet.
In fact, it is anything but. For this is a story not of a universe,
but a multiverse,
where universes and planets, such as Earth, were replicated and mirrored across a vibrating, infinite plane. Some barely different from the next.
Others drastically so.
This is DC On Screen. Every week, Dave and Jason talk about the multiverse of DC properties on film and television. But be warned, if it's been officially released, you can expect they'll spoil it.
Welcome into DC On Screen, episode 514. I'm your host, David C. Robertson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hello.
How's your week been, man?
Not bad.
You getting ready?
Yeah.
Getting ready to be a papa?
Yep. We're nearing
it's coming
the
up.
We near the moment.
Slowly encroaching.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, as far as I know, everything's, like, good to go in there, so I could get a phone call any day.
Yeah. I was about to say, even if it's the due date, it looks like it's less than a fortnight.
Yes. Yeah. I'm short of Fortnite.
Right. I'm going to mention that in the show notes because apparently there's a really popular game called Fortnite.
Just squeeze that in there.
We could use the traffic.
Yeah.
So I officially started a new podcast.
I hear.
Yeah. I've mentioned it before that we were doing it at the end of the show, but it is officially online. It's kicking with 5 full episodes. Star Trek Universe Podcast. I'm doing the show with Matt Carroll of the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. He and I have been talking Star Trek for 30 years now.
Mm-hmm.
We finally moved it over to a microphone. We're having a lot of fun. Still getting our bearings. This week we talked about the new Star Trek animated comedy they announced, which is being run by Rick and Morty writer Mike McMahon.
Yeah, that sounded promising.
That sounded really cool. And, of course, we had to talk about how it might or might not fit into canon.
Right.
We talked about a bunch of stuff. So, guys, if you love Star Trek and you can stand to hear me for, I don't know, another hour a week, I'd ask that you please go help us with our initial launch. Share it, download it, give it a good review, good written reviews on iTunes. Even if you don't like Star Trek, actually, and you only want to hear me on this show, do it anyway. Just download them. Don't listen to them. It'd be a real help.
Just phone it in, but it'd be much appreciated.
Speaking of iTunes, though, we got a really nice iTunes review this week.
Oh, fun.
From Lady Riley 713. She says, love it. This was the first podcast to make me genuinely excited for the next episode to come out. It's so good.
Nice. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I can't help but think she clicked on the wrong podcast to review.
Possibly. But we'll take it.
Let's get into some news, I guess.
Break it down.
Before we get into news this week, though, I would like to let you guys know that Jason and I have finally gotten tired of everyone else having clickbait fun. So one of the stories from today's episode is fake.
Fun stuff.
Don't worry. We'll let you know at the end of the movie or TV news segment which one it is. What's really going to be fun if someone picks it up, like another news outlet picks it up.
Yeah, yeah. Like when we release the headers, we sometimes just throw it in there and see if it goes somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm going to laugh or cry if it happens, but it's an unlikely eventuality anyway. So,
tears of joy.
Yeah.
Box office is projecting that Aquaman is going to open at $40 to $60 million. But they actually usually project low, and I'm only mentioning it so you know to ignore box office and indeed any clickbait titles touting projections 2 months out.
Yeah.
Just ignore the hell out of them, guys.
Yeah. It's not particularly useful information.
Yeah. Most of the time, it's just garbage.
More importantly, all the footage I'm seeing of it still looks fantastic, so yay.
Yeah. Oh, and they're putting out a lot of those like TV spots and stuff. We're not even covering them.
Yeah,
but
I haven't even got
cool.
to see
I'll watch
them
every
all.
One of them.
I keep seeing news that there is one, right? And not...
Yeah.
Being able to follow through on it, but I know they're out there teasing.
Yeah, and I'm actually excited about the movie, and I really hope that's not right. I hope it's not 40 to 60 million, because James Wan already has ideas for sequels. He says there's definitely stories, even with the world we've created, that you can actually see other storylines spinning off from. There's the Aquaman story, but then there's the stories of the seven different kingdoms as well. And I think those would be very fun to explore.
Yeah.
I think they might be. But what sucks is that we're going to have to wait so long, because everybody else is going to get this thing before us. There's going to be, like, the London red carpet premiere is November 26th.
I know. Very jealous.
And then everybody else is getting it, like, a week or two before us.
Yeah.
Here in the U.S.
Like, all we get is lousy Thanksgiving.
Stupid Thanksgiving. Stupid Thanksgiving. I have nothing to give thanks for this year.
No.
I cut off my fingertips, I found out I'm diabetic, and we don't get Aquaman before everybody else.
I know. And we're going to have a newborn, so I think I have to do all the cooking this year so everyone can come over, because that'll be slightly easier. I'm not sure yet, but I think I have to cook two meals.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, on top of that, this week, the sky rained blood, and it rained animal viscera down upon the earth. Did you hear about this?
No.
Cattle dropped dead, inexplicably emaciated. An angel of the Lord opened a seal. There were floods, earthquakes, locusts. Because apparently Production Weekly announced that a Shazam is going back to Toronto for two additional weeks of photography.
That explains it.
Yeah.
That explains a lot. Say,
hold your children tight.
Yeah.
Tell them you love them.
Isn't there something about, like, you put something above the door seal and your firstborn will be okay? In this case, if you place a previous movie stub from another DC movie,
right,
your household will be safe.
Yeah, it's yeah, just
sticky tape it up there.
Right, right. Go put your ticket on the door on the door facing. Zack Snyder will jizz on your door and
no. That I think
bless
it,
your home.
I think it means that he passes your home. Without, without teasing you about Snyder Cuts. That's how you stay safe.
If you look down and you have the Vero app, it's already too late.
I know. He's like, I have it. I don't think I've looked at it in a very long time because I just don't want it anymore.
I haven't either. Oh. So, over in Joker news, Joaquin Phoenix was arrested.
I told you. Whack job.
He was arrested by a New Jersey police department for stalking and criminal trespassing outside of the home of a Charlie and Melissa Collins. So apparently they live in a suburb. They're approximately 30 minutes from where the Warner Brothers Joker movie is being filmed. Collins left his office around 9 p.m. and said he was tired and I kind of cut a guy off. I didn't mean to. I was just wasn't paying attention, you know? It happens. All of a sudden, this guy is following me and riding my ass, then slowing down and speeding past me just so he can slam on the brakes. I'm from New York, but this was a different level of aggressive. And it was Mrs. Collins, actually, who called the police on Phoenix. She thought she saw a glimpse of a clown in her backyard. This asshole followed the guy home. The police showed up. They took Phoenix into custody. He was still apparently in costume from filming earlier the day. He said, I apologize for the distress I have caused their family, but I won't apologize for how I do my job.
That feels right.
And they refused to press charges.
That feels right. Somewhere Mark Maron read this and was like, oh God, like my first big screen gig, man. Ah.
Yeah. And Collins, he said that it was scary, but it's kind of an honor to be included here. He says, I respect his process as an actor.
Nice.
Oh, man. It's
a very, very understanding viewpoint.
Yeah. He also said he wasn't in any way
hurt, really, but
he wasn't in any way worried about the grenade and four loaded revolvers that were found on Mr. Phoenix at the time of his arrest. God. He says, that's a lot of gun power. This movie's going to be freaking awesome. I think this guy needs to be checked.
He may just be right.
Yeah. Director Todd Phillips thanked the family and the police for, quote, intervening before Joaquin's character study got out of hand.
Set full of enablers right there.
Yeah. But it looks like they're still going. Like, Dante Piera Olsen has been cast as young Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
He actually recently starred with Joaquin Phoenix in You Were Never Really You Were Never Really Here. And which that apparently did pretty well. And seven other things. What's that?
You Were Never Really Here. That's that's one of the more indie-sounding film names I've seen in a while.
Yeah. It feels like another biopic about Bob Dylan, honestly.
Yeah, actually.
So this kid has only been in seven other things, but that's okay. He's a small child. He was also in Jessica Jones.
You're allowed to have a short IMDb at that age?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And on Jessica Jones, he played a character called Boy.
Ooh.
Which was, I feel like it was pretty accurate.
Big role.
I remember him doing a good job as Boy.
He got turned down for Man, but they said, well, we've got something else that might fit you.
Kid aims high.
Yeah. Hey, look, man. Just dress for the job you want out there.
Yeah. Fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
Douglas Hodge has been cast as Alfred Pennyworth. Guy's been in a ton of stuff. He was Bartholomew Rusk on Penny Dreadful. I don't know anything he's been in. Anything.
We run into those guys all the time with casting news where
it's
just completely off my radar. I don't recognize them.
I'll tell you this. As a Batman fan, I will say this. He better be good or I'm going to go kick rocks.
I've seen his face. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. He looks like a guy. I've
seen his face. That's all I've got.
Shea Whigham, first man in Bad Times at the El Royale star, Shea Whigham. He is apparently talking about his role in Joker. He says, Bill Camp from The Night Of is one of our great actors. He's finally getting his due. He and I play two cops from Gotham PD in 1981 when the city was tough. We're investigating something that's just happened at the start of the piece. We're trying to get to the bottom of it, and it leads to where it leads to. You know, it's rare that I've been on a set where it feels like it crackles. It's pretty amazing. We're having an experience on Joker. We're in the middle of it right now. It's intense. For me, it's as good as it gets. I'm flowing back and forth between television and film, and it's not lost on me to work with Joaquin and to see what he's doing. And Todd Phillips has put this amazing script together. It's the origin story. People haven't seen how the Joker becomes the Joker. And oh my God, man, it's incredible. It really is.
I like the excitement.
I like the excitement. We have seen how the Joker becomes the Joker several times. I don't expect him to get it.
No. I mean, we have. in several various forms, but I'll tell you something.
Multiple choice.
While you're reading that off,
this
guy you were just talking about, the Douglas, his IMDb starts in 1985. I literally didn't recognize a single line.
Yeah, me either.
I don't even know why I said I've seen his face. I think I have, but I can't tell you where.
Mm.
Anyway,
yeah,
we run across this all the time. This guy's been working my entire lifetime. This guy has been employed. And I've got nothing.
It's like, how do you miss it?
I don't know. Me and my wife went to the same school, K through 12. I did not meet her until junior high. I mean, sorry, till like junior year. It's worse, worse than that. We were literally in 11th grade before I even knew she existed.
Yeah, that's weird.
It is. There's like 300 people in our class, but still.
Oh, well, that's not so weird.
Yeah, it was a sizable little group of youngins.
Yeah, with that amount of people, it's just like, you know what, you basically just, everybody around you are just, you know, like those CGI hippies from Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
At Woodstock, you know, just kind of floating around in the background.
Yeah, you just kind of wander through the halls with your own thoughts in mind. And
yeah.
You're not really paying attention.
Real.
Until you notice like the five people you actually hang out with, you don't see anybody.
Yeah. Apparently, My nephew, he's in like a little kindergarten class, and they do a thing where they take him on a field trip to pick cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And
my grandmother did that to me once.
Yeah,
yeah.
And they're excitable because you get to pick and keep the cotton. So he's just got this little like thing of cotton that he carries around with him. He's so proud.
This little like bloody thing of cotton or what?
I mean, it's not bloody.
He must have been more careful than I. That can be a very
But
very dangerous profession.
So my sister Ashley, his mom, takes him, and this little boy goes, "Hey, Elijah's here." And my sister says, "Elijah, who's that boy?" And he goes, "I don't know." And like apparently they've like gone over it, and he doesn't know like anyone in his class. Like he can name you any dinosaur known to man, but like the closest he got to naming a classmate was he pointed at a little girl and goes, "I think her name is Karen." So for him and so many others, everyone else in the world is just a bunch of CGI hippies.
Yeah, I relate. I relate to him on that one. I had a very like put my head down, please let me survive this day kind of experience with a lot of schools. So
yeah. So Wonder Woman 1984 was pushed back 7 months.
I thought that was going to be the reason the eviscerated cow fell, but
oh no, no.
Was that the eviscerated lamb?
Strangely calm, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gal Gadot came out, said, "Super excited to announce that thanks to the changing landscape, we are able to put Wonder Woman back to its rightful home. June 5th, 2020. Be there or be square." Patty then echoed the sentiment, claiming that June 5th felt like home. Now, originally, the movie was set for November 1st. And I'm thinking, you know, Justice League came out in November. Mm-hmm. They probably don't want to get back into that territory.
Not loving the November game.
Right. And at the same time, WB took Mark Wahlberg's $6 billion man off of the release schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the fact that in 2019, we're going to get Shazam in April, Vertigo's The Kitchen in September, and Joker in October. Then in 2020, Birds of Prey in February, 4 months before Wonder Woman comes out. So I think this is a smart move.
I agree.
I think, and plus, like, if they came out in November, they're going to be going up against Frozen 2 on November 27th. Then there's the Jumanji sequel, December 13th, then Star Wars Episode 9 on the 20th.
Ooh.
Winter is coming and it's full.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman needs to go back home to June, y'all. And WB knows it.
At least this time they had the wherewithal to move it back.
Yeah.
Because the previous WB executive team, I fully expect it would have either just kept it there saying, "No, this is what we said. We're going to do it." Or just been like, "You know what? We got a good cut, right? Yeah, let's move it up.
No. Yeah.
No.
And let me be clear here. I think that is the only reason Wonder Woman 84 is being pushed back. It makes perfect sense, and I just hope some graceless dipshit isn't out there perpetuating rumors that the 7 month delay is really for a ton of reshoots that would turn the new Wonder Woman into some kind of Flashpoint-type reboot.
Who would do such a thing?
I don't know. Someone that no one should ever listen to.
Yeah.
So, big news today. Ewan McGregor is going to be Black Mask in Birds of Prey, man.
Yeah, that sounds sweet. I've seen him before. I know him.
That's the most excited I've ever been about Black Mask.
Yeah, that's actually... Well, no, that's not true. He was played in the video games by John DiMaggio. Or not in the video games. I mean, sorry, in Brave and the Bold. But wasn't it Brave? He's played somewhere by John DiMaggio. I remember being very excited. It was an ant.
That's great. I understand.
But obviously, I'm not excited enough that I remember exactly where. I think it was Brave and the Bold. And I'm not... I wouldn't be surprised if it's also the video games.
I don't know.
But I don't know.
I don't feel like looking it up, though.
I'm not... It's not happening right now. It's John DiMaggio. He can show up anywhere. But I do feel you. This is pretty sweet.
This is pretty cool. Black Mask is Roman Sionis. Mm-hmm. He leads the False Face Society gang.
Mm-hmm.
Killed his parents. Tried to take control of their corporation. Ran it to the ground. And... pretty much blames everyone else for the problems that he caused. Really targets Bruce Wayne a lot. And in the comics recently, his mask has the technology that allows him to control the minds of weak-minded individuals.
Why not? I have never been more sure that they're going to stick pretty closely to like how we visualize that character.
You think they will?
I do, because the white suit that he's often seen in, dude, it pops on camera. Looks good. Why mess with that?
Okay.
I think it's a solid play versus the black mask. I think it looks good. Why mess with a good formula? They're going to do off-white or whatever they're going to do. They're going to put something on it, but I think it might stick to that. And they're definitely not going to like not have a mask, because if you dumb that down, you have blackface.
Mm-hmm.
Not happening.
or if it is, a bunch of people are going to get fired, which will make so many people happy.
Yeah. So Cathy Yan, though, was at the U.S., or Yan, I guess, was at the U.S.-China Entertainment Summit in L.A. She was talking about Birds of Prey. She said quite a few things that were of interest. She says, I couldn't put the script down. It had so much dark humor to it, which a lot of my work does, and there are themes of female empowerment which are so strong and relatable. So I went in with, not with confidence, but at least a sense that I belonged in the room, that somehow magically in terms of timing and luck that this opportunity was open to me, and I was definitely going to make the best of it. She was asked if there would be Eastern elements, and she said yes and no. The tone of the film is similar to that in my films. There is a half-Asian character, which was confirmed by Deadline to be Cassandra Cain, who in the comics is a mute martial artist, a.k.a. Orphan or Batgirl at some point.
Mm-hmm. Bang on when you find her.
And our screenwriter, Christina Hodson, is half Chinese, and she's sneaking little bits in. And then she also confirmed that the movie will be rated R.
That's a big thumbs up right there.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's another piece of interesting news on Birds of Prey, though. Matthew Libatic has revealed that he is talking about being the cinematographer for Birds of Prey.
Well, explain
his
to me.
Filmography.
Why do I know
his
him?
His filmography. He's done A Star Is Born. He did Mother. He did Straight Outta Compton. He did Black Swan. He did Josie and the Pussycats, Iron Man, Iron Man 2, and Venom.
Mm-hmm.
So Libatic said, I'm in preparation on a film currently called Birds of Prey. It's probably going to have a different title.
I have zero feelings about that, really.
I have positive feelings about that, because I would much rather it be called something other than Birds of Prey if it's not Birds of Prey.
If it's not properly... Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, would you rather Sirens or something?
I don't care what they call it other than... I mean, I really don't care even if they call it Birds of Prey, but I do feel a little slighted if Barbara Gordon is an Oracle, or at least in the Birds of Prey movie. You know what I mean?
She's in the universe. Hopefully they'll pull her in, but...
I know she's in the universe, but I think what happened is they don't want to put their precious Barbara Gordon into an R-rated film. That's what I think happened.
I don't know. Hopefully, I would say hopefully we're not thinking that way, but maybe we are. I don't know. I really... I don't care. I'm not okay. Super attached to Birds of Prey or Sirens or anything. I don't care what the actual title is, to be honest. Not one bit.
All right.
I've tried over time. I just having trouble.
I mean, it's not like I'm going to like not see the movie or something.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to like say, this is bullshit, and just like turn over a table or something.
Yeah.
But, you know, it will bother me on some, you know, tiny level.
Yeah. I don't even think I'm going to have that tiny level. It'll be all right.
It's good for you, man. I'm glad for you. It does my heart good. So someone asked if Nightwing was dead, and Chris McKay says, no, you're going to have to wait, though. Keep hope alive. To paraphrase Dick Grayson, Nightwing lives, always.
Mm, nice. I had been wondering about that recently, but I just... It's hard to know these days, man.
Well, you know, Titans is going on, so I think it is going to be a while. I don't think they're going to do Nightwing on Titans and Nightwing in the movies, honestly.
They might, and they might also just be kind of hanging back to see how it does on TV before they launch it.
But I recently read that
they're $45 million
Titans had to fight to get Dick Grayson on that show.
Well, they won the fight. That may be the important part.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't just get him as Robin. They got him in a progression where he goes from Robin to Nightwing.
Possibly, yeah. All right, so that's it for our movie news.
Oh.
What? By the way, Joaquin Phoenix was not arrested.
No.
That was the fake story.
Yeah. It's hard to tell some weeks.
Hard to tell some weeks. There might be a little Easter egg in that story. I'd love for anyone out there to write us in and let us know what you think.
Sure. Seriously, there will be weeks if we keep doing this where it may be hard to tell because some of the crap going on. It's
we included this one
this
week because we actually wanted to go ahead and do it before he actually got arrested.
Yeah.
There's no telling.
Because if I read that headline somewhere, I'd have to fact check it and be like, oh, crap, did they pick up our story? Oh, no, that's real. Oh, that's real.
Yeah.
Oh. The quote from Todd Phillips did not end with an emoji.
I didn't even include the emoji.
As in the version I sent you.
I know. I thought you were just laughing at what you wrote.
No.
All right. Well, if you're not following us over to the DC TV news, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, DC on Screen, DC on Screen Podcast. If you're looking for us over on Facebook, we have the DC on Screen podcast group. You can find us. I'll put a link in the show notes. DCOnScreen.com for every episode. It's free. There's no excuse. Except, hey, I don't like you guys. That's a pretty good excuse.
Solid excuse.
Like, yeah, I'm not going to expect you to listen if you don't like us.
Yeah.
All right. So Gotham fans should rejoice, I guess. I kind of did. They did announce their premiere date was Thursday, January 3rd, 2019. They also revealed that they are going to be getting two additional episodes. So it's going from 10 episodes to 12.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our original prediction... Actually, that's not true. We went with 13.
But one of those will be 2 hours. So our original prediction.
I did wonder about that. Originally, they had said it was going to be 10 episodes with two 2 hours. And now I guess we're just going to have an extra long finale. Because why would you do the 2 hours anywhere but the finale?
I don't know. The premiere, maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. That's the only other place I could make sense for it, but
mm-hmm.
still.
So, did you see this, did you see the first official look at Gotham's Bane?
Yeah. Steampunk Bane? The first comment I saw under that was Steampunk Bane. I was like, that feels right. I think they nailed it here. I can walk away.
I'm confused. So many people online have been shitting all over this thing. And I don't know. He doesn't look like a giant luchador in a tank top.
He does not.
And thank God.
It fits Gotham's aesthetic. It's just, I kind of looked at it and went, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was mostly what I went through.
Right. You know, I looked at it and I kind of laughed just because right out of the gate, what it looked like to me was, Adam Kubert drawing in an Uncanny X-Men in the 90s or something, or an X-Men book in the 90s.
Yeah.
Some, like, giant leather jacket, shoulder pad thing with, or Rob Liefeld even. Why drag Kubert into this mess? I mean, you know, he stuck to the designs, but, I mean, it's like giant shoulder pad. You know how, like, every hero back then, like, had, like, a leather jacket on, and the leather jacket was always open, so you could see their, like, giant chest, yeah. Whether it be male or female.
Yeah, you gotta see that.
They had the shoulder pads, they had like the weird little mechanical mask that was just a bunch of little like squares and rectangles because science.
Yeah, that's how you use science.
Yeah, and
giant diodes that you can see from 45 feet away. That's how you use science, man.
And he's got like the coif, the hair coif, like the Jim Lee... Top of his head is not covered by the mask coif.
Yeah.
Looks very 90s Marvel, honestly.
This drawing is sponsored by a hair product coif? Yeah, sure.
Sponsored by a coif. It's nothing but a queef.
I do not, yeah. I don't have that much emotional investment in costuming. So this isn't... Like, I saw it and kind of thought, I'm not sure I would have done that. But, man... Like you said earlier, I'm not throwing a table. It's fine. It'll be all right. We'll live.
Yeah.
But it did fit the fact that Gotham from like episode one has been timeless, as in you can't period place it.
Mm-hmm.
They make sure of it.
That's like, a good point.
Like the cars are old, but some of the computers are young, and so the cell phones are kind of all over the place. Everyone's still got landlines, but their cell phones everywhere, and we don't know where that leaves us because that's a good 20 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I'm sure there's a bunch of fashion stuff that plays into what I'm saying, but I don't know the nuances of that.
I'll be honest. I don't think he looks any worse, really, than Tom Hardy in Dark Knight Rises.
No, not worse nor better, frankly. I mean,
yeah,
it was similar choices there. They used technology instead of a luchador mask and just a couple of, you know, like a backpack full of drugs. But all the technology was up front and on the face.
I mean, it looks like he's got little gauntlets or something that could inject him with venom. I don't know.
I'm
confused
that.
Why everyone's holding on to this luchador thing.
Because it is a big thing iconically. Like when you think of him, you see that. Like I swear, in the comics, when you see his little bubble that he's begun talking, you see a little bit of luchador mask in the top left.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I know.
I get it. I do. But
I know. It's just.
It's just not that deep when it comes right down to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to care way more about if they screw up his character and I don't know.
There's no way to screw up the character because Gotham does what it wants with its characters.
I know. But they do like messing with the core of a character. They rarely just take the core of a character and completely eviscerate it and do something new.
Mm-hmm.
They do like messing with your original idea, which I appreciate. I don't like a completely fresh interpretation where you just decide to put a name on something because we can. It's not as fun. Yeah,
that always bugs me. Like, what are you getting me excited for? This isn't the thing.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's the that's it's how the I feel with Birds of Prey of like saying like, how do you spell your name? RNZYWXADS. How do you pronounce that, John? Right. That's the equivalent.
That's how I feel about Birds of Prey. Don't give me a thing that it's not. If you're don't give me a name and get me excited for it, and then it's like, you know,
in your Harley case at Quinn least, and like
a couple of other girls. Yeah,
in your case at least, it was like it's been years now since they said we're thinking about a Birds of Prey before you really knew who the cast was. So you got excited about, oh crap, Birds of Prey. Maybe not.
So Gotham has now casted Once Upon a Time star Jamie Murray. She was also in Dexter.
That's where
for people who watch better shows.
I'll second that one.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time is garbage, dude. But yeah, Jamie Murray. She was she's gonna be in Gotham, recurring role. Teresa Walker.
She was solid in Dexter.
She's going to be a principal nemesis to Jim throughout the season, and as citizens of Gotham are wont to do, harboring a dark secret about her past. Mm-hmm. That's all we know.
It's a right of citizenship to Gotham.
Right.
Can I have your full name, please? Age, address, photo ID, and what's your giant secret that you won't tell anyone?
I won't tell you. Perfect. You'll fit right in.
You're going to be great. What's mine? I killed a baby when I was 4. Ooh. You are going to have to go somewhere else. May I recommend Bloodhaven?
Out of curiosity, before you go, why did you kill the baby? It looked like a rotisserie chicken. Ah.
You know what? You might do fine here. Come on in.
We'll direct you to Arkham.
Yeah. Let me show you Arkham. You're going to end up here at some point.
Yeah.
I'm going to advise you to head to that district, pick out a code name, and I'll see you in a couple years.
Batman is rotisserie. He's at it again.
Yeah. He calls himself the Swirling Chicken. I know, but I like rotisserie more.
Holy baby on a spit, Batman.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that got back to dark pretty quick.
Yeah.
Now that we've cracked ourselves up.
Batman punches him, knocks him out. That should pacify him for a time.
Oh.
All right. Yeah, oh. I'm stopping. I'm done.
Oh.
Over on Pennyworth.
keep going. Power through. Pennyworth.
They have cast That's gonna unexcite Jason us very Fleming. They've cast Jason Fleming in a villain role. He will be playing Lord Harwood, an upper class Englishman who is cultured, urbane, brilliant, and supremely sure of himself. He's sadistic, cruel, and has a veneer of charm. He is known for roles in The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, Clash of the Titans, and he was Azazel in X-Men First Class, and I don't remember him from any of these things.
Nothing. No knock on him, but
no.
Dave's tone speaks for both of us. There just hasn't been a moment yet where I'm excited about this damn thing. I don't care about Pennyworth yet.
What's sad is like I've seen most of the stuff this dude's been in. I don't remember him. I forgot that Azazel was in X-Men First Class.
I've seen it. I'm sure I must have known that happened. I don't remember it at all.
Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid I have a similar reaction, though I am excited for this show. Swamp Thing, they've cast Walking Dead actress Gerald Prescott as Madame Xanadu.
Now, I did remember seeing her.
Prescott played Jacquee, maybe? Is that how you say that? In Swamp Thing, Madame Xanadu is a centuries-old sorceress who finds herself reluctantly drawn into battle against the escalating supernatural forces plaguing a small Louisiana town. She's a blind fortune teller, magical crusader, and her heart is in the right place despite her unorthodox methods in the fight against evil. I am so excited about Swamp Thing, man.
Yeah.
I'm so down with that.
Dig it so far.
You know what else I'm excited about?
What's that?
Like, this is the most excited I've been all week.
I like it.
John Wesley Shipp is back as 90s Flash in the crossover.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming he's going to be, like, the 90s Flash. Because if it's just, like, Jay Garrick decided to update his costume, wink, I'm going to be pissed. It's going to ruin that crossover for me. Like, my fan entitlement is going to, like, fly through the roof along with my blood pressure.
I get it on that one. I
because they've given us so much.
Because so Kate Mayne has Flash. Really... Kate Mayne...
Yeah.
She put that... Oh my gosh, man. That costume looks exactly like it did in the 90s.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it looked good.
Like, did my heart good to see that thing, man. And they've taken pictures with Stephen Amell and with Gustin and with Amell and Gustin and just 90s Flash all over the place, man. I'm so excited about it. Like, I feel like I didn't waste my time finally watching that 90s Flash show.
Oh, that was a rough watch, honestly. I wanted that to be better, but it was a rough watch.
I remember it more fondly than I actually enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I loved him, though.
Yeah, he was good.
And I'm you know, I'd be lying if I said I don't want to see Tina and Julio.
Oh, good old Julio. Good old 90s sidekick Julio.
Yeah. Before he was a blind man on Becker.
Yeah. I just recall him from a couple of shows. It's like, oh, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And then that's all I got. Never a bad that guy, but yeah.
Before he was Mr. Turner's teacher friend on Boy Meets World.
There we go. Back into one of your areas of secret expertise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If anybody listening wants to talk Boy Meets World, man, I'm down.
Anytime, any day.
I've seen everything. Boy Meets World, Girl Meets World.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Wake him up, 3:30 in the morning, hit him up with a question. He'll be happy to talk about it.
You don't even have to give me a question. You can just send me a message that says hosiery. I'll know what you mean. Because you know what? They want you to take the roles.
Right.
Anyway. they revealed the monitor from the crossover. LaMonica Garrett playing Novu, the monitor. What do you think, man?
So far I'm in.
He looks pretty bad.
Nah.
Like, I honestly thought the set pictures looked better than this.
Really?
I absolutely did. Like, the set pictures are like, it looks like he's just like kind of hanging out, smoking a cigarette or something.
I didn't see the set pictures at all.
This thing, like, it's a thing they do. It's kind of a thing they do where, like, their official pictures kind of look awful. Like, I think part of it is, like, not even the outfit or anything. It's just, like, the big cheesy planet and the, like, nebulas and stuff behind them, you know?
Maybe. I don't know. Uh-huh. I didn't really have a problem with this. I'm looking at the set photos now. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah, I think it looks better in the set photos a little bit, but, you know, I'm gonna be completely honest with you. I don't know what that giant book is he's holding.
That part confused me more than anything else.
Like, I just don't remember. And my best guess is it's an actual copy of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
That would be fantastic.
But I think the actor couldn't actually hold the book that is actually Crisis on Infinite Earth, so they just scaled it down a little bit.
Possibly. Now, the way I hear it on set, the actor's just freaking giant, so...
Yeah, Stephen Amell has spoken quite a bit about how imposing he is.
Yeah. Especially in a big old wide-shouldered costume like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, I would love it if someone a little more knowledgeable, someone a little more learned than we are, would say, hey, you know what that book is?
You know...
And if you tell me it's a cookbook to serve man, I'm going to be pissed.
There's a version of him where I forget which crisis it's in. I think Infinite.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be Infinite or Final. I don't know. I'm blanking on that right now. But there's a version of him where he can't quite remember who the hell he is.
Okay.
And, like, keeps having visions of his old life. Like, maybe it's just a sketchbook of his old
It's a sketchbook of his own.
Yeah, just him walking around with his, like, portfolio.
Yeah. That is funny. I'm not sure you're meaning it to be funny, but it sounds funny to me.
Yeah, it essentially is. Oh, no, I did find someone suggesting that it was the Book of Destiny, a.k.a. Book of Souls, a.k.a. Book of Destiny.
Okay.
Whoever this is cool. Over at Comics Beat.
Like, the Crisis on Infinite Earths, I've read it once. I've read sections of it multiple times, but I've read it once many years ago in college when, you know,
yeah.
I allowed substances to enhance my experiences at times. College Dave may have thought this was a perfect book to have an enhanced experience with.
I'm not sure College Dave was wrong about that.
College Dave may have enjoyed several Frappuccinos and scones while he enjoyed Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Of course, yeah, naturally. The, yeah.
I might not remember it very well.
Yeah, I'm not sure you're wrong about the experience part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a convoluted situation there that, yeah, maybe your memory's better left slightly impaired.
Right.
Slightly suspect.
I will say, though, if he had a giant book in that story, Enhanced Dave may have looked at it and said, I bet that book is this book, and his mind would have been blown.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be.
So,
you know what? That could actually be a real thing, though. It could be fun what they're doing with that book, now that you mention it. If it is the Book of Destiny, it's just the tome of everything that ever is and shall be, right? So, and the set photos at this point are telling us that we're not just visiting, like, one else world and telling a story. We're going all over the place a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. So, wouldn't they need kind of a guide? Maybe, say, a monitor on that journey?
That sounds good.
Who?
You know, now that I'm looking at it, it actually does look more like an accordion-style folder. It's probably just his tax returns.
Which are going to be very complicated. Right. For that many... That mean universe's worth of... Yeah, that's going to be rough.
Probably has a lot of I-9s.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of receipts.
Yeah.
Anyway. I like how Kirby-esque the outfit looks, though.
I feel like they stuck pretty true there. The hair's pretty...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They, pretty on point. They stuck to it, man. I'm down.
I mean, I dug it. I do get what you're saying. The picture looks a little... I mean, it looks a little cheesy, I guess.
I mean, kind of what you're saying. It looks like the VHS cover of Meteor Man. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, not even close to that far, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
And I say that before realizing that Robert Townsend Meteor Man has been on Black Lightning.
Yep,
kind of a lot this season.
Yeah,
but whatever, man. It is what it is. Oh, so a lot of people were wondering why Jesse L. Martin was sitting down a lot in the previous episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been released that he's taking a medical leave of absence from The Flash. He hurt his back during the hiatus.
Yeah, someone brought that up to us on the group, and I kind of thought, yeah, it looked weird to me, too.
Yeah.
But,
And, if, you know, I want him to be okay.
Yeah, back injury. Those things are rough, man. You know this from personal experience. There's a point
I do,
your life, pre and post your first real back injury. Like, because your back is such a complicated system. I think you live life and you never think about it. And then there's that moment. And then that's all you think about. I mean, not all, obviously, but it's a daily concern every day after that moment.
But sure is.
I honestly think, like, the term maximum medical improvement applies to back injury. Like, for most people, I don't know. I think it's the most relevant use of that term.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel for him, because he looks so damn virile. We've seen him, you know, apply law and order for decades now.
Right.
Just killed it as Joe.
Uh-huh.
Just killed it. Knocked it right out of the park. Knocked it into another county's park and then over that fence, too.
Right.
I do hate it for him.
I wanna hug him.
That would hurt. Don't do that.
I know. I wouldn't. I wouldn't do it, but I want to.
Yeah.
I want to tell him, oh, Joe. My Joe. And he'd say, my name's Jesse. I said, Joe. Shh.
Joe, shh.
Um, David Dastmalchian has teased returning for Abracadabra in the 100th episode. He says the Flash is creeping up on their 100th episode soon, and I think Abracadabra should show up and finally teach old Barry a lesson for once. I think he needs to bring the hammer down on him. That's another show that's shrouded in secrecy, so even if I knew something, I couldn't tell you anything. Or I would have to wave my magic wand and make your memory melt and forget about it. So we'll see, but here's hoping. Meanwhile, Tony Todd at an MCM Comic-Con told fans that the 100th episode of The Flash will have speedsters returning who want a piece of Harry, of Barry. Too many Aries on this show.
There are a lot.
So, looks like we'll be getting a little Abracadabra and a little bit of all the other speedsters.
Makes sense. I like it. Little Rogues Gallery show off.
Yeah, I'm down. I miss Snart. I want Snart.
Don't rule him out if we're going this hard. Don't rule him out. I know he said he was done. I'm just saying. People say they're done with things all the time. I swear I've looked up and seen Celine Dion's retired like 14 times.
Oh, yeah. Mick Jagger, too. But Snart's another one. But
yeah.
Snart's another one. I just want to hug him. Mm-hmm. Just want to hug him and tell him I still love him, even though he's a cranky, flamboyant little thing.
Yeah. Over prison breaking now instead of icing things over like he damn well should be. Damn your schedule.
I don't know how he had to leave because of prison break, but Mick Rory didn't.
I don't know.
I love them both. I want to be friends with them.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened to what happened to make him publicly retire from the show and that character, but and I'm not trying to just kind of hold out hope or anything. It's just if they're getting that many villains together, they might really go out of their way to make sure he shows up one more time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bring on your cold theatrics, sir.
Bring it.
But you're doing the back of my head and call it a day.
Idiosyncratic dialogue.
I do. I miss the hell out of that guy. And yeah. It's funny because when you go back and you look at the old episodes, he didn't really do it that much.
Yeah.
He didn't talk like that quite as much at all. Like
he leaned just, in.
He leaned in. Yeah. He leaned in hard.
Yeah, it was good.
And then he leaned in and kneeled. At a certain point at the near the end of Legends, he was planking.
He was just falling right over onto it.
So yeah. Supergirl has cast James Olsen's sister, Jane the Virgin actress, Azee Tesfaye, I guess is how you say that. Kelly Olsen, an intelligent, insightful woman who spent time in the military in order to pay for medical school. Having recently discharged from the military, Kelly is currently finishing her training as a psychiatrist and is described as having a large heart and caring deeply about others. I hope that's not medically. She has a large heart. That's why she was discharged from the military.
Yeah. And then they're confused later about why we misunderstood. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, God. I guess that does have a double meaning.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like since she's a psychiatrist, she's going to be able, and she knows James, she's going to be able to really dig in and have some good, powerful sit-downs with James and be like, what up, dude?
I'd just like it if she immediately walked in and had like one conversation with Kara and was like, that girl's Supergirl.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You know too, don't you? You know, that would be fun.
Yes.
I haven't, all right, this is sad, but I'm sorry. I haven't heard about her casting. I do not know her. I have never seen her before, to my knowledge.
I don't watch that Jane the Virgin.
As soon as you said Jane the Virgin, I was like, I don't like her. And here's the worst part about that. Here's why I'm such an asshole for saying that. I've never seen an episode of Jane the Virgin. What I have seen is probably around 450 freaking minutes of Jane the Virgin just from watching the interstitials or the commercials for CW.
Right, and it looks awful.
It does not look like something I was going to follow up on. But it's been shoved down my throat so hard that when I hear it, it triggers an angry reaction from me.
Yeah.
It's not her fault. I'm not actually going to hold that against her. I'm just externalizing what I realized I was doing internally.
Oh, you know, I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Like, it's one of my favorite shows of all time.
Fantastic.
But when they brought the star from Jane the Virgin over onto the show for just a second, for like an episode or two,
mm-hmm.
I think it may have been my least favorite episode of the show. I didn't laugh, I don't think, once in the entire episode.
I thought that was New Girl.
No, it wasn't.
Was it not? Was it Jane the Virgin?
Well, I mean, they did a crossover with New Girl, but the actress who plays Jane the Virgin...
Oh, just her physical appearance. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
She did a guest spot on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
And immediately you just had the same chemical reaction that... Yeah, I understand.
Yeah. Visceral, foaming at the mouth. Just...
You know, I've seen every episode. I don't know if I even caught it. That's how much it's I actually best. Don't care about the visceral reaction that I'm claiming to care about.
Mm-hmm. Teen Titans. You remember the old animated show?
Yeah.
Teen Titans?
Yeah.
Everyone's pissed off because it never got an ending and they replaced it with Teen Titans Go, kind of?
Yeah, because Teen Titans went.
Teen Titans Go is going to have a movie called Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
They're just trying to swallow the fourth wall.
I'm all right with it.
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm all right with Teen Titans Go. Yeah, I wish Teen Titans had an ending, but I like Teen Titans Go. It's a different kind of thing. It's a different kind of age group. But you know what? I'm a 35-year-old man sitting there laughing at Robin fart jokes. I don't care.
Yeah. Teen Titans Go is one of those things.
Cyborg.
It's one of those things that I've never had time to sit down and go through. And I can live with myself on this. It's fine. But every time I have sat down and watched it for a couple seconds, I've enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the other day, I sat there and waited 45 minutes for chicken and waffles in a restaurant that had a total of 7 customers in it.
Uh-huh.
And the only reason I survived the experience without absolutely losing my shit was because, A, my wife wanted chicken and waffles, and B, across the restaurant on a television, there was Teen Titans Go, and they had the captions on so I could actually read what was happening.
Uh-huh.
And that got me through it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not like...
Honestly, not exaggerating here. Seriously, I would have left. I would have left that restaurant like 15 minutes into that experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing about Teen Titans Go is, you know, there are a lot of fans out there who were just either angry over Teen Titans being canceled, or they are one of those fans who can't enjoy a comedy version of DC stuff because DC is supposed to be dark and edgy and we can't have comedy and things.
Those are out there, but...
I think the
majority of the people that have ever seen it and didn't immediately just change the channel because they weren't interested,
mm-hmm.
thought, it's charming. It makes fun of itself. It's kind of a fun thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I've seen every episode or anything, but you know, I don't. It's so easy to get wrapped up in an idea of what something is.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
That's the funny part about it to me is every person I've ever talked to that said like, fuck Teen Titans Go. Why? Because Teen Titans was good. Yeah, okay, yeah. You're not judging it on its own merit. You're judging it because it replaced a thing you left. Okay.
And look, to be fair about Teen Titans, it was good, but it wasn't like Batman the Animated Series or Justice League good.
Was it Young Justice good? I've never seen an episode.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Not even
Young Justice is way better.
Yeah, that's good.
I mean, I feel you. Nobody likes their show to be like canceled on a cliffhanger. I myself am pissed about that. Hopefully they'll...
I'm pissed in principle. That's just not something you should do to people.
Absolutely. Hopefully they'll be able to turn that around in some way. Or maybe have a little movie or something. Maybe they'll learn to work together and then the original Teen Titans will like go back to their universe or something and they'll have like a little movie and wrap it up and all that crap. That'd be awesome. If that happened, I'd be down at Walmart buying that complete series right now.
I'm pretty sure you just told me something like that was happening.
No, they said that if Teen Titans Go did well, that there might be a possibility. But, you know, I think it did do pretty well. And they teased the Teen Titans finding a way back in the end credits for Teen Titans Go to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just them coming back and saying, like, yep, we're going to do a little movie, Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans. And it's coming out in 2019 sometime. Warner Brothers has confirmed it.
Mm.
But yeah, maybe they'll do like a proper, because I don't think they're gonna wrap up Teen Titans in a Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans movie. I think this is like,
it's better than nothing.
It would be better than nothing. Yeah, that is something to consider.
I saw so many right after the Teen Titans Go movie came out, I saw several articles that complained about Teen Titans Go has to be dark, and why do they have to go dark, and blah, 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 blah. And a couple of them referred to the after the credits scene, and I just kind of move past, because sometimes you just blur your eyes and go, na, 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 and just move past a headline.
Mm-hmm.
And this explains it, though. It's you brought in a darker version of the universe, so you couldn't just have the happy-go-lucky thing. And still, that was enough for clickbait.
Uh-huh.
Enough chum for the water.
So, I'm going to move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reign of the Superman, January 29th. That's when that's coming out.
Which we're woefully behind on.
DC Universe animated movie. We're way behind on. We may or may not have a canned episode reviewing Flashpoint floating around that will get released eventually, probably after you have a child.
Probably immediately. Sure. Yeah.
We will eventually get to all those animated movies. We will. Exciting news, though. If you go back to our Joker casting episode, and if you're a longtime listener, you know that I've been chanting toward the heavens for this forever. The Harley Quinn, DC Universe Harley Quinn animated series has brought on Alan Tudyk to play the Joker.
Yeah.
Wash and on Firefly.
I did read that headline. And part of me, every time I read a headline, is skeptical. Sure. But some part of me saw it on a site that I trust, so I didn't worry about it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I read it in harmony, as though three different voices were reading it with like a, ha, 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 you know, kind of. It was fantastic.
So he's also playing Mr. Nobody in the live-action Doom Patrol series on DC Universe. Love that guy.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Do you know how great this episode is that I get to announce that Alan Tudyk is playing the Joker on Harley Quinn?
It's a big deal for you. I understand. I'm happy.
That John Wesley's ship is coming back as the 90s Flash.
Yeah.
I mean, those two things alone. Yeah. Those two things alone, Jason.
Yeah, that's it's a big get. That is.
What a week.
Yeah. I've seriously never seen Alan Tudyk's face and thought, oh, no. Every single time. I was watching Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, and somewhere in the middle of the movie got very bored with the premise and saw him and went, oh, well, there's something.
Mm-hmm.
And then his character kind of came and went in about, I don't know, feels like 3 minutes worth of screen time and thought, oh, well, that was, well, that happened.
There's a movie called Wonder Boys with Michael Douglas and Robert Downey Jr. and Tobey Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
And for a very brief second, for about two to 4 minutes in that movie, Michael Douglas requires a ride and winds up getting one from a hapless janitor, a baby Alan Tudyk.
I like it.
I love that movie, but that might be my favorite part.
Oh,
I just like seeing him. I'm like, oh, baby Tudyk, baby Wash.
Yeah, I don't blame you, man. You make good choices.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see what his Joker is like. Like, I hope it is some combination of Alpha from Dollhouse and his character from Death at a Funeral.
It's actually a good point. That's if anyone was wondering, why would you cast this guy, or you didn't know who we were talking about, much as we don't know who some people are talking about all the time. If you're just wondering why that guy, just look up his character from Dollhouse.
Yeah.
Just find
his character's name is Alpha. That is a spoiler if you haven't seen Dollhouse, but it doesn't matter.
It'll be okay.
I knew from the I had reports that Alan Tudyk was going to be in the show, and I knew it all along that he was going to be Alpha. It does ruin a twist in the show, if you don't know that. I knew it. It was still brilliant. It was still beautiful. Amy Acker as Whiskey. I mean, they could have been Joker and Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Dollhouse is fantastic. Anyway.
Yeah, that was a highly underrated little piece of show there. But, yeah, if you find any single clip, and especially the clip of, like, it, I want to say you could almost search Alan Tudyk Alpha Scalpel and just see what happens.
Maybe. It's hard to find any Dollhouse clips with Alpha.
I believe it. But, hell, watch the series. It'll be worth it for you. Enjoy yourself.
It is. It's two short seasons. You know, it wraps up. It has an ending.
Yeah.
They knew it was ending.
Serious ending. Like a slow fuse burning, and then the whole thing explodes in the last episode.
Mm-hmm. I mean, well,
There's plenty before. I don't know
that I agree with you.
There's plenty before that, but then. Oh, yeah. That last episode is a lot.
I would say give it until episode 6, because the first 5 you're going to be like, this is procedural shit, and I don't care, and then you're going to care. You're going to care a lot.
Like, Netflix is going to ask, are you still watching this? And you're going to be like, yes, Netflix! Damn you!
You're not.
Damn you!
To be fair, I don't think you'll say this is procedural shit. You're going to be like, I like some of these characters, but I hope it picks up soon. Oh, what?!
Yeah, that's actually about, yeah, that's about where I had it. I just looked at it. His IMDb has him listed in, it's like Harley Quinn, episode 1.1.
What does that mean?
It's not guaranteed, but sometimes that means he's like in the first episode, that maybe this is going to be like a, up front, we're going to get a little bit of him there.
Mm.
Already a series I'm super excited about.
Yeah, I'm down.
This was just... I mean, this was icing on the cake. They had me a couple weeks ago when they released that little short for New York Comic Con.
Mm-hmm.
They had me hook, line, and sinker. This is fantastic. This is like, if you pulled me in and I got in and I was still on the string, I'd be like, that's cool, it's cool. I'll pull the hook out for you, sharpen your knife, and lay down in the ice bath myself. We're good.
Yeah. I mean, this is like, everybody complained about Wonder Woman 1984 having to wait another 7 months. I'm like, dude, I have to wait for like a year for Harley Quinn. Screw you.
Yeah. We have other issues, DC fans.
We have to wait like a year to see Harley Quinn, the animated series.
We haven't seen a moment of Swamp Thing yet. What do you want? Is there plenty of stuff to fill your time.
All right. I think we're done, man. Do you have anything else?
Mm-mm.
All right, guys. Twitter, DC on Screen. Instagram, DC on Screen. Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/DC on Screen podcast. DCOnScreen.com for every episode. Please, if you like Star Trek and you want to listen to me rattle about it with Matt, StarTrekUcast.com. It's also on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Like I said, we're shameless. Go give us fake reviews. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
It's fine.
I've made peace with my Lord.
The word podcast isn't in the Bible anywhere. You're fine.
But no, seriously, any support you'd like to throw our way, especially if it's honest, is appreciated. And we'll probably be back next week, right? We're going to be back next week, right, Jason?
I mean, yeah, short of God knows what, yeah.
Okay. Just look, promise me that short of God knows what, we'll be back next week.
We're gonna try, and there's a good chance of it. As precedent, I literally, if you remember a couple of years back, I literally got married. The next day, did a couple of like finale reviews with you. And then went on my honeymoon.
Yeah.
Clearly, we're gonna try.
Yeah.
Life
and
events.
I tried to do that when I got married, but there was like no reception and the Wi-Fi was broken.
Yeah, you went to the freaking hills, man.
It was the nice hills.
I, you were in a place where, like, I think if you had the strength to bend the pines of the trees in different ways, you might have picked up, like, old, better reception, like old rabbit ears or something, but no, you were off somewhere. Where, like, if we had never heard from you ever again, I would have been like, where did he go again? And somebody would have said, like, oh, he went here. Oh, God, why?
He got ate by the Sasquatch.
Why did he do that?
It was a Sasquatch, guys.
You're just asking to die in unknown circumstances if you go to that area.
The closest store to us, no lie, was a Dollar General that didn't have air conditioning.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And like,
and later I was going to stop at that Dollar General with no air conditioning and ask after you, and they were going to be like, oh, he went up there, he got it.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure he got it. They all get it.
Yeah.
I don't know why anybody fills up the tanks of this area. I only need about only need about 4 gallons to get the last thing you're ever going to see.
Oh, no. There was no filling up the gas in that area.
Oh, yeah.
You had to drive like 35 minutes just to get to an area with gas stations and stores.
Oh, that's rough.
It was just like you could drive 15 minutes and get to the Dollar General, and then you had to drive like another 15 minutes to get to real stores.
Were you, like, required to read Walden's Pond while you were on your honeymoon?
No, but I did watch a lot of HGTV.
Somehow that makes sense that that's still what reaches into that area.
I mean, it was...
HGTV and, like, suicidal amounts of sickness. That's what I remember you coming back with.
Yeah. To be clear, they did have Wi-Fi. It was just that our Wi-Fi was broken.
They called it Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. That damn Wi-Fi's broken.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Until then, keep some DC on your screen. Our opening narration was from Dan Juergens' The History of the DC Universe, Part 3 of 10, as featured in DC 52, Week 4. It was performed by me, David C. Robertson. Intro music by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Future Elevators, could be found on Spotify or future-elevators.com. Our introduction was performed by Effie Opelders of the fantastic podcast Stealing the Remote, which lives on SoundCloud. It can also be found on iTunes and Stitcher. We are proudly in partnership with TV Time, TV show calendar and social media site that lets you keep track of what you're watching, what your friends are watching, and where you all left off. DC On Screen is a Maladjusted production. Visit maladjusted.tv for more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, an improvised web series, vlogs, parodies, and more.
Are you